This festival and concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend.
Yeah, Steve, they're very comfortable, they're very fashionable, and I enjoy wearing mine around the office and anywhere I go.
Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. If you can't make it to a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today. I'm sure a lot of you guys remember the old ceremonial hunting tradition of eating the heart out of the first animal you kill. Meat from those organs are among the most nutrient-rich foods on the planet. You can get those same benefits your ancestors craved via convenient daily capsules from Heart and Soil. Find out more at heartandsoil.co. And remember, use code MEATEATER for 10% off your purchase. If you're 21 or older, consume nicotine or tobacco, and want to join the Black Buffalo herd, head over to blackbuffalo.com to learn more. You can order nicotine pouches online. They ship directly to most states, or check out their store locator to purchase pouches at thousands of retail locations around the country. Black Buffalo Tobacco Alternative, bold flavor, full pouches. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Black Buffalo products are intended for adults age 21 and older who are consumers of nicotine or tobacco.
It's a Meat Eater podcast.
Welcome to Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins. I'm your host, Spencer Newarth, and today we're joined by Steven Ranella, Giannis Poutelis, Brody Henderson, Ryan Callahan, Maggie Hudlow, Corinne Schneider, Randall Williams, and Megan Baker. Megan, this is your first time on the show.
Oh, hold on. What's up? We got to make a correction.
She got married.
Oh, in the show notes, it was Baker.
Well, I know, she just got married.
Okay. Did you get married between like now and when Corinne set you up as a guest?
No. Okay. I got married back in May.
Mm. And so what would be the correct way?
Megan Dineen.
Megan Dineen. And we're joined by Megan Dineen. Megan, this is your first time on the show. How do you think you're going to do at Meat Eater Trivia?
I've been playing this every week since you guys brought it out, and I am petrified.
Okay.
To do this live.
Uh-huh. And like, you play against other folks, right?
Yeah, me and my husband play it.
Mm, how's that normally go?
Car rides, and we pause it a lot and really think about things. Okay. So actually having to be real time is going to be a little difficult, I think.
Who's better, though, between the two of you?
It goes back and forth, depending on what the topic is.
What would be, like, your strength versus his, you think?
My strength are usually animal species and region stuff. He definitely understands more like hunting and firearms better.
Okay. I have to admit, it was tough to write a question that would be throwing a bone to an airport biologist.
I was going to ask you about this.
Yeah. We have a bone that'll be thrown to her.
What do you know? What are you going to ask? Name an airport?
No, I went and I found your bio from Michigan Tech. And it said what you studied in college, so I tried to find something that would appeal to that. Now, if you're not familiar, this is a 10-round quiz show with
you
questions
that one
from
right.
Meat Eater's four verticals, which are hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking. And there's a prize. Meat Eater will donate $500 to the conservation organization of the winner's choosing. And each week here at Meat Eater Trivia, we reveal a new stat. Earlier this week, LeBron James broke Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's record for most points in NBA history. So today, we're looking at who scored the most points in Meat Eater Trivia history. At the top of the leaderboard is Steve with 179 correct answers. That's followed by Brody with 165 points, Giannis with 141 points, Cal with 91 points, Seth with 79 points, and Corinne with 69 points.
Nice.
What?
Really?
69 points, Corinne.
I'm shocked.
She plays a lot.
We weren't going to bring that up, Giannis.
Yes, exactly.
Are you counting the 10 she got when you told her the answers?
She didn't get a perfect game that game, but I think that does count. If you took those away,
dude,
she'd probably be like 64.
That was the biggest mistake of your career.
Because go on.
It's thrown off every stat.
Yep. Messes stuff up. Did you guys call each other about your sweatshirts this morning?
We did not.
No, we didn't. But, I mean, let's be fair here. I mean,
you recount the stats of this game at the drop of a hat. It's got nothing to do with Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, all right? It's constantly like, let's reinvent another way to look at the leaderboard.
You're exactly right, Kev. Now, Steve, you weren't here when we introduced a segment that we're going to use every now and then, but we're going to call it our 0%er question of the week. And this is a question that we had on a previous game where nobody got the correct answer. So this week, we are going back to episode 313 for a question that nobody in the room got right. Here it is. When archery companies advertise IBO speed, what does the IBO stand for?
I got it.
What is it?
You want to say it?
Yeah.
Wasn't it, I can't remember.
Does anybody have a guess?
It was like International Bow Organization or something.
So
like
the answer you gave during that game was International Bow Organization, but that's wrong.
Exactly.
The correct answer was International Bow Hunters Organization. The incorrect answers we had given were International Bow Org and Initial Bow Operation. So nobody retained that information.
I wasn't here for that episode. I'm ashamed, though, that I don't know it.
No, but I think it's worth noting that even though I've gotten older, I still think the exact same way.
Yeah, a whole year older. We have some housekeeping to get to. On last week's episode of Trivia, I gave examples of questions that were written by AI technology. As we learned, creating trivia questions about hunting, fishing, conservation, and cooking is not a strong suit for robots, but I did find a good use of the power of AI technology. I asked ChatGPT to write me a 20-line poem about Stephen Rinella, and this is what it came up with.
Oh, wow.
You're not going to read all 20 lines.
All 20 lines. Brace yourself. In the wilds of America's vast lands, there's a hunter with a passion for hands-on demands. With a bow or a rifle, he tracks his prey and brings back the bounty in his own unique way. Stephen Rinella, a man of the woods, with a love for the hunt that never quite stood. Still, he roams through the mountains and streams, sharing his stories and his wild meat dreams. He's a teacher, a mentor, and a guide, showing the way to a more sustainable side. He tells of the beauty that can be found in the creatures we hunt and the food that surrounds. From the deserts to the forests, he roams. With a love for the land and the creatures he's known, he harvests the wild with respect and with care and shares his knowledge with all who would dare. So here's to Stephen Rinella, a hunter of note, a man who helps us better understand the remote. His love for the land and his passion for the chase will continue to inspire and guide in this wild, wild place.
It
reminds me of...
is that like a sonnet?
It sounds like 'Twas the Night Before Christmas. Yeah. It's got that same
that
cadence.
That thing's a regular old Bob's Robert Service there. I mean, that's like cremation Sam McGee level quality.
Also, I think we should put Hunter of Note on your tombstone.
Oh, yeah, my
that was,
favorite...
That was, you know, earlier I was saying the worst thing you ever did in your career? That's the worst thing you ever
my
did in
your
career.
My favorite line, though, was sharing his stories and his wild meat dreams. Now, the Shelby Index for this game is a 3, so our winner should get about 6 correct answers. With that, we're on to the game of trivia. Play the drop, Phil.
Look, I need to know what I stand to win.
Everything.
How's that?
You stand to win everything.
Game on, suckers!
Question 1. The topic is cooking. Which of these recipes did not make Vice's list of the greatest stoner foods of all time? Is it pizza nachos, sloppy Joe pizza, pizza French toast, or pizza bagels? Which of these recipes did not make Vice's list of the greatest stoner foods of all time? Pizza nachos, sloppy Joe pizza, pizza French toast, or pizza bagels? I would imagine nobody knows this one. No. Just going to be taking an educated guess.
There's absolutely no way that this fits into...
Yeah.
Our cooking like, vertical.
This is so stupid. I didn't even think about how stupid it was until Yanni brought it up.
you're gonna have to keep adding on to the dumbest thing I've ever done.
Are you indulging in too much of the wacky tobacco? Does
everybody have an answer? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying pizza, yeah, French toast.
That's a lot of
Maggie
trouble to go through.
Saying pizza, French toast. Megan saying Sloppy Joe pizza. Randall saying Sloppy Joe pizza. Brody saying pizza, French toast. Cal saying
that wasn't an option.
Pizza, French toast. Corinne saying pizza, French toast. Giannis saying pizza, French toast. The correct answer is Sloppy Joe pizza.
Oh!
Man. Megan and Randall got it right. Pizza nachos, pizza French toast, and pizza bagels were all on Vice's list. Sloppy Joe pizza is actually from our website. If you want to learn how to make it, then go to themeateater.com and check out Daniel Pruitt's recipe called Venison Sloppy Joe Pizza.
That was the best thing you ever did.
Brought it around at the end. Question
great, great
two.
Question, man.
Topic is Mountain Men. This next great question comes to us via Clayton Stewart. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. Three states hosted an official Mountain Man rendezvous between 1825 and 1840. Name one of those states. Three states hosted an official Mountain Man rendezvous between 1825 and 1840. Name one of those states. Steve, could you get all three if you had to?
Oh, yeah.
Rest of the room looks just as confident as Steve. Does everybody have an answer?
I want to name all three.
Don't do it. Not going to get credit. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Wyoming. Maggie saying Wyoming. Megan saying Alaska. Randall and Brody and Cal saying Wyoming. Corinne saying Colorado. Giannis saying Wyoming. The three states are Wyoming, Utah, and Idaho.
Oh, I would have got them all three.
Wyoming hosted the event 11 times, while Utah hosted it 4 times, and Idaho hosted it twice.
But you got to keep in mind that those states weren't states.
Sure.
You're acting like they're hosting the Olympics.
Right. Colorado had a rendezvous.
I mean, maybe the rivers had a different mind name them, too. I would say it's still right. The 1829 rendezvous was actually split between Wyoming and Idaho. The gathering came to an end after 1840 due to decreased beaver populations, shrinking markets, and declining prices.
Colorado hosted a rendezvous prior to that.
I don't think so.
Well, I thought Kit Carson like wandered through the old rendezvous site.
Well, Kit Carson was hanging out all over up here. You know what I would have said?
What's that?
In what is now these states.
Do you get it, Spencer? Because they're not states at the time.
Question three. The topic is conservation. What auto brand came under fire from conservation groups after a 2018 Super Bowl commercial showed its vehicle driving through a lake? What auto brand came under fire from conservation groups after a 2018 Super Bowl commercial showed its vehicle driving through a lake? Steve with a quick answer.
No, yeah, but I don't know what it is.
Okay.
I currently have a beef for similar reasons with an automaker right now.
Tell us about it.
They are advertising driving through the wilderness with the new... It's okay. Just like...
Do you think it's the same offender as the answer to this question?
I can't say that, Spencer.
Okay. All right. Good on you,
Cal. I mean, you
Cal.
Know how this room comes apart.
Good on you, Cal. Does everybody have an answer for what the auto brand is? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Jeep. Maggie saying Toyota. Megan saying Jeep. Randall saying Jeep. Brody saying Nissan.
Why
Cal
that,
saying
bro?
Toyota. Corinne
stuck
saying
in my head,
Volkswagen.
I don't know.
Giannis saying Jeep. The correct answer is Jeep.
Damn it.
What'd you put down, Randall?
Jeep.
The Super Bowl ad was made to promote the 2018 Jeep Wrangler. 2 days after the game, Trout Unlimited's president sent a letter to Chrysler saying this. Quote, "The commercial that aired on Sunday might appeal to some, but to sportsmen and women, it was wrongheaded. At our farm in West Virginia, we will occasionally drive across a designated ford, a hardened crossing meant to pass vehicles over a creek, but your ad showed someone driving a Jeep straight up a stream bed as if it were an acceptable practice. Jeep never pulled the ad, but they did defend the commercial by saying it was a man-made lake and a man-made waterfall." Cal, what's your issue with Toyota?
I was 100% sure it was Toyota. I'm not that I watched the Super Bowl, but I thought it was. So that, and I have a huge issue with my current Toyota, which sucks gas. Like it's like I can't drive past a gas station.
It's like
without
it runs
having,
on gas.
It's like it runs on gas and sucks the gas out of other vehicles. Like it's brutal. It's just falling apart on me.
Question four. The topic is biology. What animal does an ichthyologist study? What animal does an ichthyologist study? Ichthyologist. I can spell that for you. I-C-T-H-Y-ologist. Steve, you made a groan. Was it a, like a good,
well,
I got
it's
this?
Like, it's like or, I knew it, but now I don't know if I know it.
Okay. Brody, you got this one?
I'm not saying. I want Steve to sweat
like,
it away.
I have it.
What's your homunculus talking to you about?
It's not. It doesn't know. It's not talking to me about it.
There's
it's,
a lot of like ologists.
It's occurring in like a different part of my mind. And I was like, oh, but then I'm like, am I wrong?
Yes, you're wrong.
You know what? I don't know if we talked about it enough. When you had a divine intervention give you an answer that
I've had
time,
that happen.
But it was a wrong answer.
Was it?
Yes.
It was, yeah.
And it was great. So you can't even trust him anymore. Does everybody have an answer for what an ichthyologist
I do.
Studies?
Yes.
Good. Giannis?
Sure.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying fish. Maggie saying turkey. Megan saying mussels. Randall saying fish. Brody saying fish. Cal saying insects. Corinne saying lice. Giannis saying lizards.
No, Chris, not ick.
The correct answer is fish.
Man, me, Brody, Randall.
Answer,
a lot of talent
so just,
in the room.
You know,
yep.
Yes.
A lot of talent in the room. Did you get that, Bill? Fish?
Got it.
Yep. That was very
got you
embarrassing. Very embarrassing.
There are 27,000 species of fish, making them the most diverse group of vertebrates on the planet. According to Professor Michael Barton, the first ichthyologists were actually hunters and gatherers because they had to learn how to obtain fish in abundance and at what times they were most available.
So you're saying no degree needed.
That's right.
That's great.
Now,
great
Megan, that was the one I was throwing to you because you studied biology and ecology in college. I thought that would be a gimme.
So we're required to take 4 ology classes, and I skipped out on fish biology.
What were the 4 you took then?
Ornithology, herpetology, and mammalogy.
So birds, what was the next one?
Toads.
Frogs. That's right.
Yeah, birds, reptiles, and mammals.
Birds. Question 5, the topic is public lands. This is our peak refuel question of the week, which was won by Mike Vance for sending this great question. Mike is going to get a week's worth of peak refuel meals and a book signed by Steve. What national park leads the country in fatal bear attacks? This is going back to the year 1900. What national park leads the country in fatal bear attacks?
Going back to what year?
1900. Megan with the quickest answer. The rest of the room staring at the ceiling, trying to envision a map. See where all them bear attacks are happening.
And you're saying just bear attacks.
Fatal bear attacks. What national park leads the country in fatal bear attacks? Most of the room has yet to come up with an answer. Randall, how you feel about this one?
I've narrowed it down to 4 or 5.
Okay.
So
no, I've got it narrowed down to 2.
Giannis with the blank board. Megan's changed her answer multiple times now.
He's got. I think that's the Latvian smirk. Is that like him not knowing, or is that a Latvian smirk?
Oh, I mean, I can see his board. I mean,
again, what national park leads the country in fatal bear attacks?
Yeah, I think I got it.
Okay.
Well, I'm going to leave here.
You can cross it out.
Well,
we can,
I'm
gonna
leave
we can
it
read
up,
your answer.
And
okay.
when you read it, I wouldn't mind if you just read the one I crossed out,
okay,
too.
Okay, we can do that. Giannis, how we doing?
I got an answer.
Is everybody ready? Brody?
Oh, man.
Brody's waffling over there.
I'm trying to figure out if you're messing with us or not.
It's a lot easier to pick when you haven't got any of the rest of them right. So, been ready to roll for a while.
Brody.
Come on, Brody.
Oh.
All right, hold on.
Nope.
This is a senior moment we're living in.
Come on, dude.
Go ahead and reveal your answers.
Remember what I asked.
Steve, that crassed out Katmai.
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 That means you know that's not right.
Glacier National Park. Yeah. Maggie sang Glacier. Megan sang Denali.
Oh,
Randall sang Glacier.
Good, man.
Brody sang Glacier. Cal sang Katmai.
Hold on a minute. Brody crossed out Shenandoah?
Dude, he said bear, not grizzly bear.
I'm going to go ahead and say right now that I think we're all wrong. I don't think we have a right answer in the room.
Corinne sang Denali. Giannis sang Glacier.
Well, let me
Giannis, we do have a correct answer in the room. It's Glacier National Park, which is right here in Montana.
Man, that Denali shit was good, though, man. You got a little factoid to go with that?
Sure. Oh, since the year 1900, there have been 12 fatal bear attacks in Glacier National Park. That's followed by Yellowstone with 8, Denali and Glacier Bay and Katmai. Now, how am I supposed to say that? Because I looked it up online and I saw Katmai, but it's Katmai. You're like the closest.
I've never heard it pronounced cat.
You saw online where it said cat M A Y.
I listened to some pronunciations, but you're the closest thing we have to an
like
Alaska
auto
local.
Pronunciation.
Yeah. So we'll go with your version.
Your chat GIP pronunciation.
All those
can I walk you through my thinking?
Let me finish. It's the last fatal bear attack on Glacier. Happened on May 17, 1998. The 26-year-old victim was a solo hiker who was attacked by a mother grizzly that was with 2 cubs. Steve, how did you get that one right?
Because there's that famous occurrence that was written about in the book. Yep. Mm-hmm. I think it was Jack. Was it Jack? Was the same guy that wrote the Give a Boy a Gun, I think, about
I don't know who wrote
Dallas.
It, but it was like a mass
night,
casualty,
Night of
right?
the Grizzly.
The Night of the Grizzly.
Well, they had, there was... In one night, just a freak occurrence,
five
one night, different
something.
Ends of the
two.
Park, 2 women got killed in one night by grizzlies, totally different grizzlies, different parts of the park.
And it was what set in
motion.
So I was
like, well, there's 2 right there.
That incident is what set in motion the idea that menstruating women are more likely to be attacked by bears. Phil, we're halfway through the game of trivia. Give us a scoreboard update.
With 0 points and in last place is Corinne Schneider.
She's 5th on the leaderboard, though, for most points.
That's true.
So.
I worked on the edge of Glacier National Park for a lot of years, and I'll tell you one thing that does not get talked about is anything bad happening to anybody inside Glacier National Park. Doesn't jive well with the marketing.
And with 1 point, we have Ryan Callahan. With 2 points apiece are Megan and Maggie.
Ooh.
Giannis and Brody have 3. Steve has 4, and a perfect game. Randall in first place.
Damn. Yeah, Randall. Yeah.
Wow, Randall, man, just coming in like a steamroller.
To be fair, he did get that stoner question right.
Well, yeah,
one
funny
of his right answers
about that stoner question is he looked visibly perturbed, like he picked the wrong one, and then when the answer got read out, he kind of. Straightened up.
He's like, that was a great question.
Did you look into
better to be lucky than good.
Black bear fatal attacks in state parks by chance?
No, like because this was national park.
No,
question.
I know, but I just thought maybe you would have dug around a little bit farther. Because
how about county parks? Did you look at that?
Municipalities. For all the black bears
parking
that live
lots.
In state parks.
Mm-hmm. I would like to bring the stoner question back up.
What do you got, Maggie?
Who eats French toast pizza? And what is it? Is it covered in syrup? Is it savory?
You're going to have to take it up with Vice.
Oh,
don't know
that sounds
the
so awful.
Maybe coming to our website soon. Could pull
no,
that off.
I won't allow it.
Are you a big stoner, Randall?
No.
Define big.
Little
is what Randy.
Yeah. What are your guardrails on that?
He's a little stoner.
It's a pretty arbitrary qualifier.
So he told me, like, you know, Randall's a little stoner, and they said Randall's a big stoner. I think of him as the same amount of stoner. That's a good point.
Hey man, after years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by overpriced wireless providers, if you've learned anything, it's that there is always a catch. So, when I heard that for a limited time, all Mint Mobile wireless plans are $15 a month when you purchase a 3-month plan, I thought, well, what's the catch? But it turns out, there isn't one. Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they sell wireless service online. They cut out the cost of retail stores and pass those sweet savings directly to you. Ditch overpriced wireless. with Mint Mobile's limited time deal and get 3 months of premium wireless service for $15 a month. To get this new customer offer and your new 3 month unlimited wireless plan for just $15 a month, go to mintmobile.com/meateater. That's mintmobile.com/meateater. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/meateater.
$45 upfront payment required, equivalent to $15 per month. New customers on first 3 month plan only. Speeds slower above 40 gigabytes on unlimited plan. Additional taxes, fees, and restrictions apply. See Mint Mobile for details.
The single most valuable tool I have for chasing turkeys next to my scatter gun is the Onyx Hunt app. If I'm hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. If I'm not hunting turkeys, I'm using Onyx. I'm always using Onyx. I live by that stuff. I can't tell you the number of birds this app has put me on by allowing me to easily find new areas to hunt. It's invaluable. I use it all the time. Even properties I know super well. And I'm at my buddy Bubbly Doug's house. I'm using Onyx, and I've hunted this place a million times. With their compass mode, I can pinpoint exactly on the map where a gobble rang out from, and then figure out the perfect spot to set up. Meaning, if I'm sitting there, let's say I'm at Bubbly Doug's, and I'm in the navel, and I hear, I'll like instinctively pull up Bubbly Doug's place on Onyx, and I'll look at the topography and I'll be like, oh, that sucker must be over in that little opening over there. Waypoints also, and the ability to share them, okay, comes in handy every spring. Whether that's revisiting old waypoints where I've been on birds before or sharing them to buddies to help put them on birds, this app will help you find more turkeys. Onyx Hunt has a special offer for you too. Use code MEATEATER to receive 20% off your membership at onxmaps.com/hunt this turkey season. Hey everybody, I'm talking here about Montana Knife Company from our very own state of Montana. This company was founded by one of the most experienced master bladesmiths in the world, Josh Smith, who over recent months I've become friends with, and my God, have I learned a lot about knives from this guy. Just a phenomenal hometown company that makes world-renowned knives. Josh has been making knives for 30 years. You get one of these knives up and open it, it is sharp like something that came from outer space. And here's the deal. They make knives that can be sharpened. You can work on these knives. If you don't want to work on them, you send it to them and they'll work on it. They'll get it sharp. Phenomenal hunting knives. If you want to see them in action, we just did, me and John Hayes, the taxidermist, just did a video about how to properly skin a black bear. Watch that video, and in that video, you'll see Montana Knife Company knives in action. MKC products usually sell out in minutes of being released, which is true. But now, for the first time, they're dabbling with having knives in stock on their site. So right now, you can grab yourself a Blackfoot 2.0 or the Ultralight Speed Goat. Use code MEATEATER, and you get 10% off your first order. Montana Knife Company. Working knives for working people. 10% off with the code MEATEATER. That's a good deal.
Question 6. The topic is hunting. Name three of the four animals with the most entries in the Boone and Crockett record book.
Say that again.
Name three of the four animals with the most entries in the Boone and Crockett record book. Need you to name three of the four. Brody, we've learned on previous games that your strongest suit is hunting. How do you think you're going to do on this one?
I think I got one right so far.
Okay. Name three of the four.
But you said deer is not an acceptable answer.
I never said anything.
Okay.
Randall, is this going to keep the perfect game going?
I have no idea.
Okay. Only write down three answers. If you do four, you get it wrong. Steve, you're going to get this one right.
Yeah, I'm feeling good about it. Okay. I was more interested in what Randall's got going on.
Three of the four animals. Does everybody have an answer? Yanni's still writing.
I bet Corinne gets it wrong.
Corinne
wants
no,
to
decide. I do too.
Who wants a side bet? Who wants a side bet? Corinne gets it wrong.
I'm going for zero.
Does everybody have? She's going for the imperfect game. Does everybody? Maggie's racing. Maggie, how you doing?
Last minute change.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying whitetail, elk, black bear. Maggie sang whitetail, bighorn, black bear. Megan sang whitetail, elk, mule deer. Randall sang whitetail, mule deer, Rocky Mountain elk. Brody sang whitetail, black bear, elk. Cal sang whitetail, mule deer. What's that last one?
Black bear.
Black bear. Corinne sang whitetail, black bear, elk. Giannis sang whitetail, elk, mule deer. The four animals are whitetail, black bear, mule deer, and pronghorn. I don't know if anybody got it right. Cal got it right. Everyone else had elk in there.
I thought you said.
Yeah, then the minute he said, someone said Rocky Mountain elk, then I'm like, I got that wrong because it won't be that way. It'll be like divided up into all the damn different elk.
There are 18,218 white-tailed deer entered in the Boone and Crockett record book. That's followed by 4,607 black bear, 4,266 mule deer, and 4,241 pronghorn. Even if you add all three subspecies of elk together, there are only 2,732 entries.
Shocking. God, guy thinks everything. Spencer does.
It is shocking. Mm. I mean, 18,000 whitetail seems like not that many for how.
Yeah.
Spencer, new elk was going to be a popular answer there.
I mean,
the bar is set high, maybe.
A lot of stuff he does that Spencer does is stupid. But that little tidbit
where
he knew that people were going to write elk, but it wouldn't. He's like, people are going to write elk, mm-hmm. but it doesn't count because it's going to be like Rocky Mountain, Thule, Roosevelt. And then he thought about that. And then he thought to make a little factoid.
That's right.
That helps satisfy that question.
Question seven.
Very good.
Nice.
Very
good, yeah.
Topic is cooking. This next great question comes to us via Maggie Shrek. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@themeateater.com. What is the main ingredient in cowboy candy?
Copenhagen.
What is the main ingredient in cowboy candy? Nobody has come up with an answer yet.
I got an
Maggie
answer.
Hudlow, you got this one right?
I don't know.
Okay. Rest of the room, not as confident. What is the main ingredient in cowboy candy?
Do you know it, Randall?
I think so.
Is this a food? Is that the...
The topic is cooking.
The topic is cooking?
What is the main ingredient in cowboy candy? It's not like shotgun shells or something like that. Some of the room has yet to come up with an answer. Giannis, think you're going to get this one?
No.
What percent chance is it that you get it?
It sounded depressed. No. There.
What percentage? I don't know.
What is the 10%. Main ingredient in cowboy candy? Does everybody have an answer?
I'm just off my streak, man.
Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying beef. Maggie saying beans. Megan saying beef. Randall saying jalapenos. Brody sang molasses. Cal sang popcorn. Corinne sang peanuts. Giannis is saying meat. We have a correct answer in the room. It's jalapenos.
What?
Well done, Randall.
Oh, my God. You, listen, there's no way you knew that.
I knew it right off the bat.
Are you upset he got hired, Steve?
No, I just thought something fishy was going on. There's no way you knew that.
Cowboy candy is essentially when you can jalapeno peppers with apple cider vinegar and sugar. Oh, they are sweet and spicy and work great in cocktails, on burgers, with cream cheese, and in baked beans. The condiment originated in Texas in the 1920s.
I was thinking about cowboy caviar.
Slightly
different.
Great Trader Joe's jarred condiment. Garnish, I should say.
Not quite candy.
Name anything with cowboy in it, Randall will get it. Anyway.
Big stoner cowboy, Randall.
Question eight, the topic is woodsmanship. What gender-specific term describes an uncastrated adult male horse? What gender-specific term describes an uncastrated adult male horse?
Guarantee Randall doesn't get this one.
Why is that, Cal?
Well, can you read it one more time?
The topic is woodsmanship. What gender-specific term describes an uncastrated adult male horse?
So I thought you said.
You think you got it right?
What's the castrated one? That's a great question, too.
Oh, I can tell you that too.
Better question.
Why don't we put that in parentheses?
If you'd like.
And then what okay. word do you associate with whom in the room? That would be a good follow-up.
Cal, might have been a hint. Is everybody ready? Megan, you have an answer? Oh, she's changing it. Corinne, did Cal's hint give it to you?
I didn't even hear that.
Okay. Name.
You guys just like, you guys, these people just, do you see how they look? It's like, it's not even an attempt to conceal their boards.
That's why we're moving to new offices, just so we can have a new podcast
table.
We're
doing
to play.
It?
Yeah, the whole reason. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Stallion, and he's saying the castrated version is a gelding. Maggie saying Stallion. Megan saying Mustang. Randall saying Stallion. Brody saying Stallion. Cal saying Stallion. Corinne saying Mustang. Giannis saying Stallion. And the castrated version is a gelding. The room did well. The correct answer is Stallion. A Mustang is a feral horse. A foal is a juvenile horse that can be male or female. A juvenile male is a colt. A juvenile female is a filly. A castrated adult male is a gelding. An uncastrated adult male is a stallion. And an adult female is a mare. Phil, we have two questions left. Give us a scoreboard update. What do you got, Brody?
Yeah, Brody's got a question for you. Mm-hmm. When someone decides to offer up extra information that wasn't asked for,
yep.
if they got that information wrong...
Steve pointed out, though, he was going to put it in parentheses. And to be fair, him and Yanni both got it right.
No, I called it out.
Okay. Just checking.
Phil, give us a scoreboard update with two questions left.
Corinne, Megan, Maggie, Cal, Giannis, and Brody have all been eliminated from
I was going to say that last comment.
I don't
was
think you can catch Randall, though.
Frustration with Randall in the room. Like Brody
there are two
was just
players,
coming on those.
Two players left are Steve with 5 points and Randall with 7.
Yeah, but...
Wow.
Come on.
Don't give up, man.
Did you just
give
up? Right?
I'm not giving up. We just got to get the next two wrong now.
My heart is beating like a drum here.
Question
I was trying to be
nine.
Nice about it, Steve. You want me to say, like, you got no shot, man?
Question 9. The topic is fishing. This next great question comes to us via Logan Woodrich. If you have a question you think is right for Meat Eater Trivia, you can send it to trivia@meateater.com. Phil is going to play you 1 minute of a song about fishing. You need to tell me who the artist is. Take it away, Phil.
Oh. We look for the artist.
Need to name the artist.
Oh my gosh, he's got an answer already.
I know all the songs like this, but not this one.
The soundtrack of my youth.
It's getting cocky now.
Here we are, Steve Rinella looking to come from way behind. Way behind. Rubbing his brow.
Feels like, wait a minute, this is my favorite part. Let's just wait. Let's just wait.
Great tune.
Just like it for the drums. Oh, yeah.
What a drum.
Oh, yeah. There might be some guitar synth there, maybe.
I haven't heard anything about fishing yet.
Is that
Listen
Atlantis?
Close. Listen close.
It said hands on the wheel. Didn't say anything about staring into monitors.
Okay, yeah. Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying Ooh. Air Supply.
Oh.
Maggie without an answer.
It's not
Megan
work,
without
yes.
an answer. Randall
Australian.
Saying Billy Joel. Brody saying Billy Joel. Cal saying Phil Collins, Corinne
right.
without an answer, Giannis saying Men at Work. The correct answer is Billy Joel,
wow.
and the song is the Downeaster Alexa.
Yes,
Randall,
it does
kind of
sound like Men at Work.
Got it.
He did something other
Thanks,
than piano.
Let me tell you something. Have you seen the movie? You've seen the documentary Hired Guns?
I don't believe I have.
It's about sessions musicians.
Yeah,
it's like they get like if you're let's say you got a rock band or you're a performer. You got the people you tour with, but that's not who you have record. And the documentary is about the maestros, right? Like the absolute best in everything. Yeah. and it's the guys that do the albums. Sometimes they'll tour, but it's like if you're going to do an album, these are the people that come in and do the album. A through current on that is what an asshole Billy Joel is. It's mostly about it's about being a sessions musician. It's mostly about the industry's hatred of Billy Joel.
That's why he only plays Madison Square Garden anymore. He doesn't have to tour around with all those folks who don't like him.
So that's why I didn't put that down.
Out of principle.
Out of solidarity. Solidarity with all of his session musician friends.
He is one of the best catalogs out there. Piano Man, Scenes from an Italian Restaurant, Uptown Girl. I mean, the two-disc.
We didn't start the fire.
The two-disc Billy Joel Greatest Hits CD was...
Just the way you are.
On
big
repeat,
shot.
my whole childhood.
Yeah. Moving out.
Moving out.
Billy Joel released that song on his 1989 album, Stormfront, which went quadruple platinum. It's about a struggling fisherman on Long Island who can barely make ends meet. A downeaster is a type of boat that's popular among lobster fishermen in New England, and Alexa is his daughter's name. Thus, Joel called the song the Downeaster Alexa.
He once told a sessions musician. He told him, "You're too nice," as career advice.
And here we are today with Steve not answering.
Let that linger.
We have one question left. We know our winner already. That's Randall.
Take that home for the weekend, okay?
We'll finish the game anyway. See how badly Randall can beat him down.
The poem was right. Steve just shares his knowledge.
He's a mentor.
Randall's going to wake his wife up in the middle of the night. There's something I can't get off. What's wrong, baby?
Am I too
something
nice?
I can't get off my mind.
After he smokes a little weed.
Been doing it wrong.
Just a little.
Question 10. The topic is public lands. Which state is home to the Tuskegee National Forest and Talladega National Forest?
I got it right.
Randall may not get this one right. Again, looking for which state is home to the Tuskegee National Forest and Talladega National Forest. I wish folks could have witnessed that. Steve just threw his eraser at our guest. Megan's not going to come back on this show.
Yeah,
Randall, are you going to get this one right?
Well, it was a ricochet.
Oh, I don't think so.
Okay. Does everybody have an answer for which state is home to the Tuskegee National Forest and Talladega National Forest? Go ahead and reveal your answers. We have Steve saying, what's that say? Alabama. Oh, Maggie saying Minnesota. Megan saying Tennessee. Randall saying Florida. Brody saying Alabama. Cal saying Alabama. Corinne saying Michigan. Giannis saying Tennessee. The correct answer is Alabama.
Nice.
Did you say Michigan, Corinne, because of Steve's reaction?
I did. No. That was why I changed my answer.
You're like, oh, it must be.
Now, Giannis, what was up with all that confidence to get that one wrong?
I don't know.
Okay.
I thought that forest was in Tennessee.
At just 12,000 acres, the Tuskegee is the smallest national forest in America. At 17 million acres, the Tongass National Forest in Alaska is the biggest national forest. That means you could fit 1,400 Tuskegee National Forests in the Tongass. How badly did Randall win? Did he win by one or two?
Two. Randall finished with 8. Steve and Brody were up next with 6 points apiece.
How badly did Randall win?
That was in the old days, we'd be having a showdown between me and Brody right now.
If it wasn't for that cowboy question and the stoner question.
Yeah, in the old days, it'd be like, tiebreaker. But now it's like, oh, he ran one.
Yeah, the old days, which was a week ago.
But you only got 8?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going for perfect game.
Randall, what happens next is you get to choose where the $500 donation from Meat Eater goes. So what's it going to be?
Let's do TRCP.
What do you like about
that? Oh, nice, Randall.
Kiss ass.
Wonderful organization guaranteeing all Americans quality places to hunt and fish. They get a lot of stuff done behind the scenes and just proud and happy to support the mission.
Well done, Randall. Megan, thank you for joining us. I bet you beat your husband when this episode comes out, right?
I'll let you know.
Okay. Now, Megan, you brought something with you to the studio. You have a skull in front of you. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I work for USDA Wildlife Services, and my district does meat eater trivia as a competition throughout our district. And so I brought a skull with me for everybody here to sign, to use as our trophy for our winners.
I like it. And that That's just awesome. Like sits on your desk then, yep. If you're the winner at the time.
Yep.
Megan, thank you again for joining us. Join us next time for more Meat Eater Trivia, the only game show where conservation always wins.
Good game, Randall.
Randall always wins.
Hey, if you follow wildlife news at all, you're probably aware that the island of Maui has an incredible abundance of axis deer, so much so that they're causing ecological damage. Well, Maui Nui venison is thinning out some of those axis deer herds and delivering venison sticks and fresh cuts to your door. Visit MauiNuiVenison.com. That's MauiNuiVenison.com. Use promo code MEATEATER for 20% off your order. You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without your essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. Man, I was just in Hawaii and I had my Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie with me. And here's the deal. We're in and out of the water all the time, getting in to go spearfishing, getting out, taking the kids to the beach. I'm not going to mess around all day putting sunscreen on, then having to get washed off. I just run a hoodie. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.